Good morning. It's okay, Brooke. You can stay there. Yes, has children to worry about. Yes, good morning again. I know we have some stragglers coming, but we're not waiting for them. It's time. And a special welcome to Carolyn. It's been a long time. And her grandson, Zach, right? Zach, yes. All right. Yes, it's good to see you again, Carolyn. And Sean Kidd back there hiding in the corner again. Yes. Dee's back with us again and feeling better again. Congratulations, Dee. And what? Are you wanting me to say something about Frida?
Yeah.
No, she was here last Sunday. She doesn't count. It doesn't matter anymore. But while I'm thinking about it, congratulations, because she's getting her hubby Mike home on Tuesday. That's a real answer to prayer, yes. And Joel, there's Joel back with us as well. Wayne's a loner today, that's all right. Hollis's Kathy is sick today, but he may be coming late, so we shall see. Anyway... Yeah, no, we're ignoring him. Tom, hey, Tom, we don't want to hear anything about him. Ooh, already gave him a hug and smooch, so he's good. All righty, so let's see, who has a colored bulletin insert? Everybody's got one of these colorful brochures. We'll say something about that in a minute, but... Oh, Cheryl and Carolyn, right in line here. Hey, congratulations, both of you. You're special. We love you both. Yes, all right. Okay, let's see what we've... Oh, there's the Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne. Okay, let's see what we got for upcoming events, shall we? Kathy's doing double time back there, so she's... Bible study Wednesday night. We're up to John 5:19. So having a good time, and you're missing it if you're not here, so come join us. And then on Thursday, you have this brochure in your bulletin as well concerning the National Day of Prayer, and we encourage you to read through that and join us down at Farman Park. They start the music about 11:30. And a worship band, and the prayer itself goes from noon to 1 o'clock. And if you can't be there, then be in prayer, right? Okay. Pray for our nation, love, liberty, and life. All righty. And then, oh, okay. So, Kathy, are you coming up here now, or do you want to wait till I read this? Jimbo, welcome Jimbo as well. So we have the thank you note from Helping Hands to the church. Dear Sandpoint Church of God, we are deeply grateful for your participation in our Samaritan's Pouch fundraiser for the Good Samaritan Inn. Your generosity was wonderful, and we thank you so much. Your total giving from this church alone was $4,920. You are to be greatly commended for your great giving. Some churches are still collecting, but so far we are at $37,770. How amazing. We will send out individual receipts and thank yous for the addresses we have when all the collecting is done. We sincerely appreciate your contributions. It's a great step in helping us reach our goal for the Good Samaritan Inn. We also greatly appreciate the church's monthly donation to Helping Hands Healing Hearts. It's such a blessing. This church has been a great partner in helping make a difference in the lives of those in need in our community. We love you, church, and are very proud of you. God bless you all much. Sincerely, PJ and Kathy. And she's going to come up and share some. Oh, look at her! She's on a high cloud. She's on a high cloud today. She's got a little added thing to this.
So,
So. He told you that our pouches were 37,000.
Is she loud enough? Does she need this?
770. And from last year and this year, we also had other donations that totaled 33,879. So we have a total of 71,650. And drumroll, this week we got a pledge donation for the land,
which is just about the equivalent of $350,000.
Yeah. So once we get the land, that's our big hurdle. Yeah. Now we can put together all the info that we need to write grants. Woo-hoo!
She's not excited. She stole the Alleluia Lula from you. Yale Lula. Okay. Well, we could have saved that for testimony time, but it's a good way to start, isn't it? Huh? She had to get that out, and so don't go near her. She's dangerous. Well, praise the Lord, yes? Yeah, I mean, unexpected, but this is God's doing. And so we're rejoicing this morning. And thank you as a church for all you're doing along with it. I think that's it for announcements. The front of your bulletin depicts the suffering servant shepherd sovereign spoken of in Philippians chapter 2. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love, your goodness, your faithfulness, the privilege to be your children, the privilege to come into your house today, as always, the freedom to do so. We never take it for granted, and we give you praise for who you are, and we come to worship you and to join together, united in your spirit, to offer to you a praise that you alone are worthy of. So we pray that your spirit would be very real in each heart and mind. Bless those who are not able to be with us today, but thank you that we're united through your spirit with them as well. We give you praise for all of this in your Son's name. Amen. Wah, 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 wah. Or something like that. Close. That was close. Wah, wah, wah. Short of wah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You must not have heard her wah. We had it planned. Yes, thank you, Brooke. All right. Oh, I see what's happening. Number 5 has moved back there. It's okay. It's better that way. It's better that way. Gotcha. She's lonely. Yes. Okay. That's all right. Well, here we are. This is the first half of a 2-part message. It's going to be interesting because you get the first half today, and you get the second half in another month. Just the way it works when you're in transition, and you got to have let a Coon Blank preach once in a while. Coon Blank. Pastor Hollis, sorry. You only have to put up with this for a few more weeks. So anyway, he had to go check back on his wife, and so keep them in your prayers. So yes, and of course next Sunday is Mother's Day, as we'll get to that. We didn't have an announcement on that up, did we? Did we say it? Did we share it? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. It's too late. Yeah, Mother Pauline's mothering. Think about it. I'll give you a week to think about it. Mother Pauline's. Since Hollis is kind of stuck on Paul these days, we're going to blend in a little bit there. Okay, back to the business here. We are continuing Meeking Jesus, number 1 in 2021, and this is part of that series, looking at Old Testament pictures of Jesus. Yes? And so far, I don't know if I can remember, we looked at Noah, the Ark, the Word first, the Word of creation first, the Word of the Word, Noah, Abraham with Isaac, sacrifice. Anyone can remember anything else? Was that it? Okay, it seemed like there was more. Well, we're getting to David here, and David is a picture of Jesus, and we're combining David with Isaiah 53, where Isaiah prophesies about the Messiah being the suffering servant, because there's a clear connection there between the two we'll make today and in another month. And so, well, I want to look at those two and the blending of them, and we're going to begin with what we might call the anointed appearance. The anointed appearance. You remember that the Lord told Samuel, the prophet, to go anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king. Saul was first king, and then, of course, David's going to become the next one. Samuel doesn't know who he's going to anoint. The Lord will tell him when he gets there. Okay? So we pick up the story in 1 Samuel 16, please.
When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
Something to remind ourselves of quite a bit, right? Because we look out upon others, and we look at this, and we look at that, and we may have our limited human view, which is usually different from the anointed view that God has. So Samuel's there, he's looking, here comes the oldest son, Eliab, who, look, good-looking guy. Surely this is the one right here. Nope. He might have a good appearance, but he doesn't have the anointed appearance. There's a whole big difference in that, how God looks at things and what he anoints and what we may look at. And we all have to be careful to not rush it, not go before the Lord, but to wait for the word that we'll get to in a little bit. Isaiah's prophecy of the Messiah as the suffering servant that we have been kind of worshiping this morning supplements and expands on this anointed appearance in Isaiah 53.
"Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him as a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem."
So Isaiah is describing the coming Messiah, suffering servant, a person whom we would normally probably choose. His appearance wasn't the kind that maybe they were looking for, a king, the Messiah. Nonetheless, he had an anointed appearance that wasn't obvious yet to people, and it became obvious. But like David, Jesus wouldn't have been the first one chosen necessarily for what the Lord had called him to, in our point of view, in our way of looking at things. And so it's interesting to see that connection, and again, how it might be applied in our lives, the way that we look at things, the way we look at others, and all of that. Isaiah goes on, though, to declare how this appalling appearance that he speaks of, the Messiah coming, becomes the anointed, raised up, lifted up, and highly exalted appearance in Isaiah 52.
"See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand."
It's an interesting. He had an appalling appearance to begin with, and it became much more appalling the way they treated him and despised him. But because he went through that, he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Then, Joanna.
Well, when was this appalling appearance changed into what we see on pictures of Jesus today?
Well, obviously, we don't know exactly what he looked like physically.
We know what was an appalling appearance. And these pictures are I know. Very handsome man.
Right. Well, and some are. There are some that depict him differently. But nonetheless, we don't know what he looked like physically. The point is that he wouldn't have been chosen by the way he looked.
So there is nothing in the Bible to justify what we see in these portraits. The Bible only says that he had an appalling appearance.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Can I say something?
Sure.
The Kentucky Derby was yesterday. Kentucky Derby, where all them expensive horses are. Well, I just got there in time to look at a horse who was super muscular and brown, a beautiful horse. I figured that horse is going to win because that's a really strong horse. I should pick that one. I think it was edged out by a horse that cost the owner $1,000 a few years ago. And it was a small horse, a dark black horse. And it really wasn't the best breed of all. I mean, it was just a $1,000 horse. But the owner and the jockey both said, this horse has a heart of gold. It will go way beyond. It just has a heart to win. And so it was won by a horse that just had the heart. It didn't look like a winner. It only cost $1,000. But it was the winner.
God looked at the heart of that horse and said, that's the one that's going to win. The point of this, of course, is we need to be careful about looking on the outward appearance and making judgments that way. God doesn't do it that way. He looks at the heart. He looks at the inside. You might think you're ugly. I might, all these years, thought because of my big ears, people would make fun of me. Well, I beat him to it. I just make fun of my big ears to begin with. I don't care less. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. And you're ugly. But you got a good heart, Ron, and that's what counts. That's what counts. So I'm pretty free about teasing people about outward appearance because that's not what counts. It's what's in the heart. And I try to communicate that very clearly as well by loving expressions, both positive and negative. It's always out of love. Speaking the truth in love, Sue, good, glad you're here today. So anyway, the point being that we need to be careful about those judgments we make and try to gain God's perspective, the anointed appearance that God wants us to get to, so that our eyes and our hearts are anointed by him to be able to see ourselves and others as he does. Philippians chapter 2, one of my wife and I's favorite passages, speaks about this. Please.
In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Jesus was willing to take on the appearance of us. It's not a pretty thing. He went, as I've often said, from the uttermost to the guttermost for our sake. He took on the appearance of us. But the anointed appearance is the therefore God has exalted him to the highest place and given him a name that's above every name. When we look on Jesus and his glory, isn't that a whole different picture? It certainly is. I mean, it's not pleasant to look at the cross and all of that. But because he was willing to, the anointed part of him is the exalted part. And that ought to be true for us. Paul says, therefore have the same mind as Christ when you're thinking about yourself or others have that same heart, that same perspective that God has. It's an anointed appearance that we want to see in people and see in ourselves. Okay? We move from there to the anointed announcements, and this returns back to David and Samuel anointing him as king, and we'll see this in Jesus as well. 1 Samuel 16 again, please.
Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep," Samuel said. "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the true one. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah.
So evidently David wasn't ugly, but he was the runt of the litter, was the point. He wouldn't have been the first chosen that Samuel had taken. But he makes the announcement and anoints him. This is the one that the Lord has chosen. So there's an anointed announcement of who David is and what he's going to be. And of course, this foreshadows Jesus himself. And he has an anointed announcement that we remind ourselves of in Luke chapter 3.
When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
How about that as an anointed announcement? Pretty clear, and there for everyone to see. Do you know that God wants to say the same thing to each and every one of us, whether it's son or daughter? "You are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." He wants to make that announcement. The anointment, the anointing that enables that, of course, comes from the Spirit himself. We have to open our hearts to that. Jesus was willing. He offered himself. When we do the same thing, then we get to share in the anointed announcement in our lives. And so Jesus claimed this anointing and announcement for himself in chapter 4 of Luke.
He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue. As he was custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Yes. "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to proclaim this, all this good stuff that the Lord had sent him to declare." We can also make the same claim in our lives. It's not a prideful thing. It's done in humility as Jesus. But he said he wanted to be clear on who he was and why he was able to be able to declare these things, because the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Without that, We can do nothing as well. Jesus wouldn't have been able to. And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Let's let the Lord fulfill in our day what he wants to fulfill in the anointed announcement of our lives. Okay? Can we do that? We have hearts open for that. Jesus' anointed appearance and his anointed announcement revealed through David next becomes and results in, thirdly, the anointed atonement that we have already celebrated this morning, atonement. And this is pictured in Isaiah's suffering servant of Isaiah 53 again.
Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
This prophecy that Isaiah declared years before Jesus came, fulfilled in every detail. Over 3,000 prophecies about Jesus fulfilled in perfect detail. And so there's no question about who Isaiah was prophesying about, and we receive the benefit, the atonement, the offering of himself, taking our place so that we could be at one ment with him. That's what atonement is all about. Jesus taking what we deserved so that we could be one with him. The anointed atonement that Jesus suffered for us leads us then to the rewarding, therefore, that Isaiah goes on to declare in verses 10 through 12.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Because he was willing to go through all that, therefore God has, as Peter said, or Paul wrote, exalted him to the highest place, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and proclaim that he is Lord. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong. Could that possibly be us? Because he poured out his life to death, was numbered with the transgressions. Yes, we get to share in the result, the reward that he has gained for himself. He said, you're my brothers, you're my sisters. We are co-heirs with Christ. We can go on and on. If we have the anointed perspective, if we have the anointing of the Spirit in our lives, we get to reign with him. Yes. Amen. Raise your hand. Say, that's me. She's speaking before me. Yes. How wonderful that is that we can because of what Jesus has done for us. Finally, Peter quotes Isaiah in reminding us that we also are called to follow him, his example, in 1 Peter chapter 2.
To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his words we have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Have you returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul? That's the question. That's what we get to answer today. And if we haven't, we can make that choice today. He's done all this for us. He just asks us to follow him, to receive what he's done for us, follow his example, have the privilege of being like him in every way, presenting that to others and encouraging them to do so. We will finish this message down the line, but for today, the therefores and the so that's that we have seen in these scriptures, I believe, encourage us and challenge us to not only return, but to surrender to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. I want to do that. That's my response to God's word today. I encourage you to do the same. As we stand to sing, the servant king, he calls us now to follow him, to give our lives as a daily offering of worship to him, the servant king. You want to do that with me? Let's stand together and do that. As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here.
Who remains surrendered.
Father, for your Son. We never grow tired of hearing the old story again, and the privilege we have not only to receive what he's done in our place, but what he offers to us because of that. The privilege to reign with him and to receive the reward as we surrender ourselves, as we choose to be a servant to others as well, to represent him in every way possible, to be anointed by your Spirit, as was he. Thank you, Lord, that we can have a different way of looking at ourselves and others and what's going on around us. We can announce in an anointed way who you are and what you offer to others. And especially, Lord, we can share the good news of the atonement, to be at one with him. There's so many around us that don't know that experience yet, that reality. Help us, Lord, as you anoint us by your Spirit to, as we say often, be sensitive to your Spirit's leading and obedient, so that you can use us as you did Jesus. What a privilege. Thank you, Lord, for those that are with us today. Thank you again for the healing you're working through Sue, that she could be with us and is making progress. Slow as it may be, we celebrate her being with us here today, as well as Joel and Carolyn and Dee, and the list goes on. If I missed anybody, huh? Yes, and with Mike being able to go home Tuesday, thank you, Lord. We celebrate that along with Frida. Thank you for all that she's been doing to make that possible for him as well. And Lord, we just want to continue to lift these up to you, as well as others that we know Tom is facing some knee issues that lie ahead. And we also want to lift up Sherry's friend Stephen to you with typhoid fever. We pray your healing touch for him. We pray your healing touch for Kathy as Hollis cares for her. Whatever she is dealing with, you know. And we're thankful, Lord, that you're with each one of these that we love and care for. And when we can't be there personally and directly, we're thankful that our prayers through your Spirit can make a difference. And so we rejoice in you and all that you're doing in us and through us. Again, we rejoice in how you've touched hearts to be generous and giving toward the Good Samaritan Inn. We celebrate a big milestone today in that process. And you're making it evident, Lord, that this is your will, and that you're going to bring it to pass in your time, in your way. And that's the way we want it. And we like being a part of that. So we just give you thanksgiving and praise. And we know you're listening, receiving other expressions of thanksgiving and praise and petition from your people.